In the name of Jesus, amen. Brothers and sisters, during this Lenten tide, you have the joy of learning to know God perfectly. This is our theme this Lent. Learning, in other words, what to receive and to expect from Him in the Lord Jesus Christ. What should you expect to receive from God? Well, that's a no-brainer, isn't it? At least I hope so. It's salvation, saved by God's grace in Jesus, that is only received through faith in Jesus. Yes, it's always about Jesus. It's only about Jesus. He is the one who saves sinners. And so in the Passion reading that you heard earlier, you heard of miserable sinners and of the Jesus, the Savior, who saves them. Watch what Jesus does to save Peter, James, John, you, and a whole world full of sinners. It's really amazing. Tonight, you learn again to confess that Jesus is Savior and that you are not. Jesus does everything for your salvation. You do nothing. We are total sinners. Jesus is total Savior. Check it out. Hear how Jesus is God for you in this salvific way. Right off the bat, you hear that Good Shepherd Jesus, that's what you heard in the reading, that Good Shepherd Jesus will be struck down, betrayed, arrested, viciously beaten, sentenced to death, and then brutally hung on the cross. And so consequently, his little flock, his church, will be scattered. Jesus said, "You will all be offended because of me this night." Now, do you think that you have better words than Jesus? Of course you do. You pipe up with Peter. You mean well, but you contradict what Jesus just said. "Even if all the others deny you, Jesus, I will never deny you." That's a bold promise. It's like your baptism day and your confirmation day promises. What happens? Jesus said so in the text. He says, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus knows that. And so he says, "You will all be offended because of me this night. Truly I say to you, this night, before the rooster crows two times, Peter, you will deny me three times." And things quickly go south, don't they? Betrayal, arrest, impending doom. Can't be associated with that kind of Jesus. And so what does Peter do? You know the story. What does he do? He denies. He fails. Miserably. Totally. And so do you. And so do I. And then the text says, all the disciples forsook him and fled. And so do you. And I do as well. It's true. It's absolutely true. And that's why Jesus then is what? That's why he's the Savior of sinners. Brothers and sisters, tonight you see the enormity of his savoring you and all sinners in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that this all takes place at what time of the day? Do you remember? At night. Night is the time of evil. People do naughty things at night. Jesus says in the text, "This is your hour and the hour of the power of darkness." Remember as well that Jesus is in a what? A garden. Why a garden? Well, keep in mind that Jesus is the second and the last Adam. Jesus comes to the garden to take on the prince of darkness and to overthrow him. Whereas Satan overcame the first Adam in the Garden of Eden, now in Gethsemane's garden, Satan encounters an Adam like no other. A last Adam who will not be overcome. Satan will now be conquered through this Adam. His scaly head will be crushed. In the garden, last Adam Jesus takes the lead to save sinners, to save you. I mean, seriously, you can't count on Peter, James, and John for any help, for any words of comfort, or for any encouragement. Because what were they doing in the garden? They were sawing logs, fast asleep. And so would you, and so would I. While Jesus faces head on the power of darkness, the betrayer's kiss, soldiers, officers, lanterns, torches, weapons, and the cup of God's wrath against all sin and every sinner, his soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. He is in intense agony. The sweat drips off his face like enormous blobs of blood. But as the second and last Adam in this garden, Jesus trusts his Father to take care of him. Jesus trusts that his Father's word is absolutely true and reliable for him. He goes the way that is marked out for him by the Old Testament scriptures. So pulling out swords, cutting off people's ears, and calling down 12 legions of angels to wage war is not our Lord's cup of tea. That is not how he redeems sinners. Instead, even though it was agonizing for him to do it, he lives by faith. He lives by faith. He is the perfect human, flawlessly. Yes, flawlessly, he keeps God's word for you and for your salvation. He accepts the burden that is laid upon him, and that's precisely why he repeatedly prays this way, "Abba, Father, not what I will, but your will be done. Not my will, but yours. If this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, your will be done." Strengthened by the angel, the text says, sent from heaven, Jesus knows that he must drink the cup of God's condemning judgment that all our sin deserves. And he will suffer it in our place on the cross, alone, with no help, so that the scripture from Zechariah is fulfilled, in which God said, "I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." However, Jesus remains God for his scattered flock. For Peter, James, John, you, the young man who slipped out of his linen cloth and fled away naked, and all the rest who abandoned him and ran for their lives, Jesus boldly offers this promise. He says, "But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." In other words, Jesus promises, after you failed me, and my Good Friday forgiving love has its way with you, you will realize just how completely dependent you are on me and my servant ministry for you. Yes, Jesus died for those sinners. He answered for their sins. He restored them as a trusting and confessing church, a new Israel, and you too. Jesus is God for you. Not in Galilee, but here in this congregation through his word and sacrament. He goes ahead of you. He meets you. He gathers you, the scattered sheep around himself. Now he has you as his hangers-on, his new Israel, who cling to his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death for the forgiveness of your sins and for your life and for your salvation. I mean, that's what you would expect, wouldn't you? That's right. That's what you should expect from Jesus. And by knowing that, you know God perfectly. Brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus has put me here in this place to speak the word of forgiveness to you, so that you do know him perfectly. So here goes. I'm not going to mess around anymore. Let there be no doubt. And so I ask you, and I want an answer. I want you to speak the answer. Do you believe that the forgiveness that I will speak to you is not my forgiveness, but Christ's forgiveness?
Yes.
Good. Then let it be done for you as you believe. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, as his forgiven Israel, let's praise the good shepherd Jesus for his mercy and rely on him all the more with our praise and our prayers. We stand.